Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick and our buddy Barry from South Florida. He's also with us today, rounding out the crew. So it's kind of like a full crew, at least a three-man a vessel or equipped vessel. Rusty is out working today. He, unlike us, this isn't work. He's actually manning a demo day at Jacksonville Marine.
Why'd you have me move all those boxes in the studio before the show if it's not work?
Well, just because I like to get things done. I like
you just like to, you like to see me lift heavy things? Is that it, Greg?
Okay, that's better than you saying you like to see me bend over and pick stuff up. No. No, that had nothing to do with it. It just there's work to be done. Yeah, and well, God knows I don't want to do it.
You did request I wear the Spanx.
It's for Halloween. It's part of a cowboy ensemble.
Oh, you're just getting yourself in deeper there, buddy.
Okay, Barry, bail me out? No? Kenya?
Nope, I'm here.
Okay. But that's it. He's not going to bail me out. He's just going to sit there. Now, how are you, Barry? How are things
I'm
down
fine.
In South Florida?
How are you guys
Florida?
Doing?
So, you know, are you excited about tax season? Because he's an accountant.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So is this a little escape for you today to join us on the World of Boating, you think, or no?
Oh, yeah. Kicking back, relaxing, watching the rainfall.
Okay. And he sounds so excited, does he not there, Patrick?
He does, but I'm going to liven him up a little bit.
Okay.
And hopefully he can answer this, because I'm going to put him on the spot.
Uh-oh.
So, Barry, with tax season just mere months away, what are the deduction rules for boats?
That will depend on what Trump does.
It will. Why? Because you think it'll be a deduction elimination for boating?
Well, it seems like he wants to get rid of a lot of the itemized deductions.
Mm-hmm.
Increase people's standard deductions.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing you can deduct is using a boat as a second home. You could deduct the interest on the loan.
Right.
All right. So
now, is that every boat? Or does the boat have to meet a specific criteria?
Specific criteria.
And that would
be... It has to essentially be something that you could live on. So it would have to be a living space. It would have to have
a head.
Place to go potty and a place to eat.
Yeah, usually I thought the requirement was like it had to have shore power or a means for electrical supply.
There are people that live off the hook. So
that's right.
It has to be a place for you to live in. My boat would not qualify.
Why not?
Your boats would.
Yeah, you have a head on your boat. It's off the rail.
That's right.
And that doesn't count?
And I've used the bait well for it, too.
Yeah, I think, remind me
never to go fishing with him.
I think the rules are a little more specific than... I think what Barry's referring to is there has to be an actual livable space.
Right.
Not like his boat being a center console, just because it may... If he put a porta potty on it, it wouldn't necessarily, qualify as a second home. It's got to have other amenities on board for
it
to qualify.
It doesn't have to have much.
You have to be able to live on it.
Well, you can live on your boat, couldn't you?
I thought that...
I can live under a bridge, too.
I thought they had to have... I thought it was like a stove, electrical power source...
you would need that. Yeah.
Refrigerator. It would have to be a floating house, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with the amenities or the attributes that you would find in, an RV, if you will.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, you could bring all that stuff on Barry's boat and make it happen. It's all a subjective kind of thing, right?
Well, that would be hard. It wouldn't be difficult. It would be...
If you got audited...
a little bit difficult to audit. Yeah, you have to get it audited first.
Right. If you got audited, all you'd have to do is prove that you could live on your boat.
Okay, let's dial back just a little bit. So, Barry, with boat show season, get ready to kick into high gear. So yep. You've got a client that is interested in buying a larger boat, one that you could weekend on. So what would your advice be as he heads to the show? What is he looking for? What's involved with the second mortgage? How does all that work? I mean, if you can kind of make it radio exciting.
If he could pay for it without taking out a loan, he's much better off.
Okay.
Because ultimately you don't make, you know, when you deduct, you can only deduct the interest. Mm-hmm. And that's only, you can only do that when you itemize. And you're only getting percentage of that interest. So for every dollar you spend on interest, if you're in the, let's say, 25 or 33% tax bracket, you're only deducting 33 cents of that dollar. Or 25 cents of that dollar.
So your advice...
75 cents is, I mean, if you can afford to pay for it outright, you're better off that way.
Okay. And then taking whatever extra stuff and putting it in a savings account or something is what you're saying, kind of thing?
Well, it just...
It's amazing how he extrapolated all of that from your statement.
I'm just trying to bring it down.
About trying to pay cash for a boat instead of taking out a second mortgage. But
yeah.
Go on, Barry.
But, you know, so it comes down to if you have to take out a loan for it, then you deduct the interest, you know, and you claim it as a second home. But it would be like, you know, those homes that you sell. I mean, not the homes, excuse me.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Boats what that you sell, Patrick.
Yeah.
Because those are big.
Yeah,
you could live with
old yachts.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, really anything from let's see, current would probably be, I think the smallest one we've got that's got a cabin would be the 25, but all the way up to the 53 currently.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here is that when you go to your spouse and say, "Hey, we got to buy a boat, but honey, it has to be a bigger boat, otherwise we're not going to be able to write it off." See what I'm saying?
Has to be a bigger boat because it makes the honey happy.
Well, that's true, too, maybe, but she may not be a big fan of how much it's going to, you know, cost. Like, no, we got to spend more. Well, yeah, we got to mortgage our futures because we need to be able to write this off.
To Barry's point, I think there's some consumers that go into it, and when they hear that, they get to write off the second mortgage. Now, we take out a second mortgage, we can write it off on our taxes. Mm-hmm. You hear that all the time. And that's why I wanted to talk with Barry about it, because what he said just a couple minutes ago is very telling to people who aren't well-versed in pursuing this type of finance, and that is, you know, if you're in a 33% tax bracket, that's you're only claiming the interest 33 cents out of every dollar that you spent, and that's 33 cents out of every dollar you spent on interest or
on the interest.
Yeah, just on the interest.
So, right. You know, you don't get to write off the whole boat.
Well, you don't need to tell her that or him that for that matter.
I mean, think about it. It's the principal and the interest. So, mm-hmm. I mean, again, if you can afford it, you know, pay for it. If you can't,
caveat,
then take out a home equity loan and do it that way.
Well, the caveat to all of this, though, like you said, as far as trying to think you can write off the interest might go, you know, off the rails here pretty soon if this new tax proposal goes through, because that probably is one of the exemptions or the things that they're going to stop.
And that's where you'll see a hit to U.S. manufacturing, especially in the RV and the recreational industry. It'll be akin to that $75,000 luxury tax back in the late 80s.
Well, you know, they also, at one time, you could deduct your personal interest on credit cards and home, you know, car loans, stuff like that. And that went away. And it didn't stop people from charging things or buying cars. So it may or it may not affect. We'll see.
Well, if it goes the way they say, we'll have more money anyway.
But the thing is, cars are almost a necessity. You know, for most people, especially in urban areas. I mean, you almost got to have one to get around.
Hold on. How many people are buying boats because they can write off, deduct the interest? I'm saying that's not a huge motivation factor.
But that's just gravy on the steak there.
I think it's a bigger motivator than you might realize, because if they're looking at, well, you know what? We could buy this 28-foot, or you know what? Yeah, we can write off the interest on our loan, and you know, we do the home equity thing, and we can get a 35-footer. You know, we're gonna spread it out over 30 years. I mean, yeah, we ain't ever paying this thing off, but we'll probably sell it long before then anyway. You know, I think it does come into play more than people you may think, Greg.
Well, here's the thing. The bigger boats have not really suffered much of a recession at all anyway.
I disagree.
Well, they're not. The super yachts have been, like, booming the last few years.
I disagree.
What do you mean you disagree? The numbers show that. That's what we've been reporting over the last year or two on the World of Boating.
No, we have not.
We haven't said that the super yacht segment of the boating industry has been the most profitable and unaffected by any downturn in the economy.
No, we have not.
What do you mean we haven't?
We have not.
We've talked about those numbers many times.
No, what we've said is aluminum, okay, pontoon boats,
yeah,
aluminum runabouts, boats made out of aluminum are doing extremely well. But super yachts, that's a whole nother story.
All right. Well, we'll cover it again, I guess, right here on the World of Boating. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Guys, we have a situation. I broke the bathroom.
How the heck did you manage to do that?
We ran out of teepee, so I had to use my shirt.
Ew.
Well, long story short, turns out that pipes on the boat are not PVT compatible.
It can handle tidal waves that the stories talk about. And it can weather any storm. Come aboard, we're going out.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and a our buddy Barry down in South Florida helping us out. By the way, Barry, have you ever found out that the head on your freshwater fish tank thing there on the boat? What is it? Bait well? Is it BFT compatible?
It's only good for number one.
Okay.
I would not try to put number two down there.
Oh, right. All right. Just checking.
So your lobsters are safe.
Good. Yeah.
You feel better?
No, I actually know, because I'm never going to put my my lobsters in your bait well. It's just never going to happen. All right. So, look, this is the World of Boating, and we are trying to get to the bottom of this question that Patrick brought up, because I thought for sure, I know we have talked about this many times over the last couple of years at the super yacht segment. When I say yacht, I mean like boats 60 feet and larger.
Uh-huh.
That segment of the boating industry has done actually pretty well over the last 5 years or so, despite, you know, the industry being hit overall. It's done much better than the rest of the boating industry. And maybe I need to go higher than that. Maybe it's 70 or 100 feet plus. But the big super yacht guys, their production has not went down hardly at all.
Of course it has.
But they're like delayed, right, like right. Years.
Yeah, they are delayed. Yeah, they're delivering boats now that keels were being laid 5 years ago.
Okay.
And when you look at super yachts that are individually owned and are not available for charter, that segment is very small. You know, your Roman Abramovich and your Bill Gates and your Steven Spielberg and, you know, the Octopus, the Eclipse. I mean, all those are, you're not chartering those boats.
Right.
But a lot of boats coming out of the big shipyards are going to wind up being chartered. They're going to be owned by somebody, or they're going to be owned by that person's company, or there's a group of investors, and what they're really banking on are the charter market to basically pay for the yacht. But I have seen in the industry the last several years where price cuts, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million to get these larger yachts moved because they've been sitting on the market for quite a few years, and the owners are waiting to take delivery of that boat where that keel was getting laid up back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting ready to go for sea trials, and they got to get their other stuff unloaded. That market is still soft. Bear in mind, the Russian buyer, which was huge in super yachts mm-hmm. a few years ago, that's been really soft for the past 5 years. It's starting to come back a little bit, but it's still pretty soft. The market in Asia, China especially, that got real soft as their economy kind of stagnated and no sales dried up. We've seen that in the recreational market as well, not to mention the ridiculously high import tariff that China puts on boats coming into their market, which is like somewhere around 50-55%, which makes it extremely cost negative to try to bring a boat into their market. They would prefer that you set up a factory there and build them, you know, on their mainland.
Well, but doesn't it go back to just basics? I mean, there's only so many billionaires that can afford those super yachts, but the number of billionaires has went up.
But that's what, like, I'm saying, Greg. It's not,
tremendously.
Billionaires aren't necessarily buying yachts and super yachts. If they are, they're not buying them outright. They're taking second mortgages, and they're going to write off the interest.
Patrick,
yes,
are these boats built on, or yachts built on spec, or do they get a deposit? How do they get paid if it's a 5 year long process?
It varies per shipyard, because a lot of times what you'll have is you'll have a designer. Now you have a hull designer. Or basically, let's call it the structure, the naval architect, if you will. Then you got an interior designer, and they're gonna design how they want the boat laid out. Okay, we know it's gonna have five decks, and this is the basic configuration, and here's how we see it all kind of. And we want to move this bulkhead, and we want to do this, and we want to do that. Move the superstructure aft 5 feet. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff. Roman Abramovich's Eclipse, it underwent a retrofit major about 3 years ago, where they had that thing cloaked. I mean, literally covered with the base. You'd call it a huge drop cloth. And they were adding, you know, parts to the upper structure and stuff like that to kind of make it look like a different boat. So some of it's done on spec. Some of it is, you know, there are obviously deposits. The ones that are built on spec, of course, they get built. Keels get laid. Boat gets out, gets sea trialed. And maybe the buyer has since backed out. So then the naval yard, they're sitting on a boat that they will then go put out for charter, and they'll try to get it sold. So it's a strain when you start getting up into that market. How do I want to put it? for me, it gets a little sketchy. There's more money involved than I would even know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they work their deals, like I said, some of it's individuals, some of it's private investors that group together and they buy one. And again, their goal is to charter it out and get it to pay for itself. And they each get 2-3 weeks a year. This move towards boat sharing and yacht sharing, kind of like Airbnb for boats. That hasn't translated into the yacht or super yacht market either, because honestly, millennials who are more apt to do that type of thing, they've got no interest or money in doing something like that. So the larger yacht market, Greg, it's not that it's tanked, but it hasn't been growing either. It's kind of stagnant. Again, the Russian buyers are starting to come back in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Asia is starting to come back in, primarily China, a little bit. But the previous 5 years, it's been incredibly soft.
Well, I know we have had Captain Keith on before, and he was saying that the super yacht segment had not taken a hit like the rest of the industry had.
I don't believe he ever said that.
I think he did say that. And it kind of just goes back to the people that can afford it. Over the last 10 years, the overall generalization has been, the rich people are rich. They continue to be rich and get richer.
But the middle class and the lower class stay rich by not spending money on frivolous things. So.
But there wasn't a softening in demand. I remember him saying that. So I don't know. Maybe I just remember him saying
that. There's only so many people that can afford these yachts, and once they have one.
Out of our crew, I'm the only one, right? So, and I'm not ready to pull the trigger, not till I know what the new tax proposal from Trump will be. Yeah, I might want to write off that interest. You hear what I'm saying?
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, also Barry in South Florida. By the way, I know Barry's real excited because, you have the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. So I guess we'll find out just exactly how well the super yacht segment is doing, because they really show their colors down there at that Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. Almost as much as Monaco, not quite. That's the real super yacht show. But that whole section of super yachts at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show are quite impressive.
Yeah, if you can even get on the dock.
Well, you can look at the boats from afar.
From afar.
That's right.
Yeah, they have the area roped off.
I wonder what it's like to be up there, Greg.
When I go with you to the boat show and they see you, they automatically put up the barricade. They don't let us in.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not going this year. I want to give Barry a shot.
I'll tell you, if you want to get a cheap view of it, it would have been last week, actually. You go and you just stay on top of the bridge. Over the main waterway going in.
Watch the parade. And
you just watch them coming underneath the bridge, mm-hmm. one after another. And then there's a lot of them that are docked around that area as well. And you'll see the helicopters coming in and landing on. It's all pretty cool.
It is. Even if you're not a boater or just kind of casual admirer of boats, it's really a cool event to wander around the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show.
It is.
And so... I encourage you highly to do that. And it might spark your interest, even if you're not a boater already. You might look at, I do want to do this.
Well, if it's your first time going, or maybe even if it's your second or your third, you tend to get a little dazzled by, the fiberglass and the steel hulls and, aluminum and outboards and all this other stuff. And you really kind of lose when you go to the different manufacturers, you find that not all boats look the same. They're not all built the same. And when you start to get into the fine nuance of the boat and the detail and everything, you really start to pick up on what the manufacturers put into that vessel as far as the design, aesthetic, power packages, how they kind of put everything together, and really what separates one manufacturer from another, because all boats are not built the same.
All boats are not created equal. You have to look real close and like, hey, that's a piece of crap. Oh, this is really nice. This will get the babes. This is going to have them turn away. Or other way around. You know.
Stop talking about Barry's boat that way.
Yeah.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Everybody's bound to get a little wet, but love is a boat. When you're out there struggling all alone, when this world tries to sink you like a stone, yes, you can stay afloat. That's right. Love is a boat.
It is indeed, and this is the World of Boating, a great place to share that love. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and Barry. Not a whole lot of love between us, but between you and us individually, one-on-one, you know, it could be, I better just stop. Just go to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show if you're in the area. It's the, you know, and this is the big boat show. This is the biggest in-water boat show, they say, well, for sure for the U.S., if not one of the biggest in the world. So big, big event going on. I can't go myself. I'm going to miss the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. And it's not because it's Halloween. You know, it kind of is on the heels of Halloween. That's actually an advantage to me because I would
they
go down.
Candy.
I could do that, or I could go down as, you know, my favorite, you know, costume.
No, yeah, they give out candy at the boat show.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Here, have some candy. Security! Yeah, no, I would dress up, you know, like Thurston Howell III or something, or dress up as somebody famous.
Well, we talked you out of dressing up like that pointy hatted ghost.
Okay, we could do that. I'm guessing that wouldn't go over
no
super well.
Maybe over in Tampa, it'd go over well. Not here. Anyway, Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show actually starts. It runs November 1st,
right,
through the 5th. Primetime preview.
Oh, it's Wednesday through Sunday. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay. Because
can I continue?
Well, no.
Can I, sir?
Well, Miami goes Thursday to Monday.
Can I continue?
Fort Lauderdale goes Wednesday to Sunday.
Can I continue?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, wait a minute. I got more I want to say. No, go ahead.
The primetime preview begins Wednesday, November the 1st, from noon to 7 p.m. Now,
wearing a costume is optional, but they probably don't, you know, encourage that.
Yeah, you want to break out the wallet. Now, if you want to do the primetime preview, that is $46.50.
But it's worth it because less crowds, and they maybe they'll have more tchotchkes to give away during that time.
Yeah, Thursday through Sunday, again, now for what arguably is the world's largest in-water boat show, $30 a head, $29 actually. That's pretty darn cost affordable when you look at. I don't think you could make it through and see everything in one day. I don't think it's possible.
I don't think it
is. I mean, to truly stop and see and go on every manufacturer's boat and look at every manufacturer's display.
An empanada, you know, one of the vendors, a corn dog here.
It's too big. You have the convention center has all the smaller boats, the engines, all the accessories, and then you have to take the bus over too.
That's right.
Now, children 6 to 15, $12 a head. Water taxi is $15 for any day. Valet parking will run you anywhere from $70 to $70. So
$70 to $70?
Yeah. And if you want to park at the War Memorial Auditorium, it's $7. You know, we'll probably with food, what we'd say, $100,
yeah,
for the day
at least, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's an experience,
yeah. Plus, you got a lot of free swag.
You do.
You will come out of there with a bag full of can koozies,
a lot of pens.
You forgot parking.
No, he said valet.
Oh, he had
for $70
and the parking at the War Memorial Auditorium for $7. So I did cover parking.
Okay.
Good luck getting beachside. Maybe if you show up at 4 a.m.
Greg, true. Is Jeff doing the water taxi?
Oh, you know what? I believe he is. Our buddy Jeff from South Florida Diving Headquarters took over the water taxi vendor system, I believe, or at least part of it. But I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him about it lately.
That should sustain him for the year, that contract.
Well, yeah, there's pluses and minuses with all that kind of stuff. It isn't as lucrative as you may think, but lucrative enough. And he's well established.
But that's how you write off the cost of that new boat. You use it as a water tax.
Well, he was planning on getting one. Exactly. He did. Or he was working on it. So I don't know. He was working on that. We'll have to find out. Maybe we can check in with him next week and see. He's going to be at the DEMA show, though, with me, which is the big diving show that happens to go on exactly at the same time as the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. We haven't had that happen in a few years. They've usually been like one weekend apart. They might be a little bit overlap. This year, they're smack dab overlapping each other. And, you know, I'm going down below the water surface as opposed to floating on top for it. So Rusty is going down to the boat show. You don't know if you're going down to Fort Lauderdale. Is that the deal?
It is. You know, years past, I would be there right now.
But you were, there was an incident or what?
No, that was Miami.
Okay. So
that was an incident between myself and the Miami Beach Police Department.
Ah, there's that
which,
one. Yes.
Which it did not go well for either of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, they talk. You know,
but Lauderdale, I'll tell you what, the Lauderdale for me, as far as a boat show setup and working with show management, and with security has always been, they've got that thing dialed in. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, they've been doing it a lot longer, but they really have it down to a science. Not that it's not without its hiccups, but when you're bringing in, I mean, you're bringing in 8, 9, 10 boats by water, and you have to be in, because where we put our boats, I mean, we're right up against the seawall. Mm-hmm. So we're one of the first manufacturers off of H dock that comes in, and then they build out from there. So they bring in floating docks, and you know, so you got to be in on, and if your boat's not ready, they're not waiting for you. You know, you're gonna have an empty hole, you know, sitting in the water.
Yeah.
So you got to have all your stuff ready to go, or be ready to tow it in if need be, and then getting in to then actually do the setup of your display, which is on the water, presents its own share of challenges, but they've always been really, really great to work with. Miami, back in the convention center days, not so much.
Well, they've went through a lot of changes the last couple of years with the new location.
I wasn't talking about the new location, because that presented with a new venue. I was very forgiving in the logistical issues that we encountered and understood we would have that. At the convention center, though, that had been for decades there, and there was just everything from as soon as we crossed the bridge going into Miami Beach, we had to stop, pull over. If we were an oversized load, $125 a boat to the Miami Beach Police Department, one way to get escorted in. They wouldn't escort every boat, even if we had them all there. Per boat, I mean, I've never encountered another municipality that did that. Lauderdale doesn't do it. You know, mm-hmm. I've never had another one that, you know, hands are out and to get you in and to get you out. And what was really a 2-mile drive. And you would
Welcome
think that.
To Miami.
Yeah.
And you would think that, you know what, we want to make it to where people are coming to see the boats. That's what's driving people to come to here and spend money. Let's make it easier for the manufacturers and for the subsequent vendors to get in here and get set up. Let's extend them the price breaks and some grace, if you will, and work with them so that we have a great event and we get a lot of people in attendance, because that's really what drives the economy in those areas.
Or we can just take their money now. Welcome to Miami. $125 radio.
But you know what? When the economy got tight post 2008, that's when a lot of manufacturers were like, you know what? We're not going to bring the big stuff. We're just going to bring the smaller stuff. We're going to have a smaller display, and we'll have shuttle buses available to take people. If our factory is here in the state of Florida, or if we have boats somewhere nearby in the water, and they're a true prospective customer, somebody who's not just looking for a boat ride, we'll shuttle them over and kind of give them the VIP treatment. And that really hurt them as well. You know,
well, eventually you'll just have them put on the, you know, virtual reality goggles and say, here, take a tour of our plant. You can say, take a tour of every boat we have. Just slip these on. You're good to go.
My point being, Miami Beach was a lot harder to work with than Lauderdale. Lauderdale has always, always, always been super accommodating.
Fort Lauderdale is more of a boating area than Miami. Wouldn't you agree? As far as I think when you think of the waterfront at Fort Lauderdale, it's all about the boats. In Miami, I'm not so sure I think it's all about the boats in Miami as far as the seafront and stuff like that.
I don't agree with that.
You
think so? You think it's just as many?
More.
Really?
Fort Lauderdale is what you've got drawing. It is the length of the show, how long it's been in existence there, and the venue, which goes back to the Ernest Hemingway days, the Bahia Mar.
True.
There's a lot of history there. More boats in Miami.
There are.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. I learn something every day, despite my best efforts.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the one.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
This is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen. That grinning, glowing, globular invader of your living room is an inhabitant of the pumpkin patch, and if your doorbell rings and nobody's there, that was no Martian. It's Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Halloween.
Yes, we are just a few days away on October 31st, the kickoff of the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, which, by the way, the biggest boat I see on their list is like 257 feet long. So that'd be the queen of the show?
I guess.
Isn't that what they call it?
I guess.
You don't seem to want to admit to it, or what?
I've never heard it referred to as queen of the show.
They always have the biggest boat referred to as the queen of the show, I thought. Barry, back me up on this. You've heard this before, right?
Yep.
Yeah, see?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I could tow it with my truck.
I don't think you could either. But you want to be queen of the show. I mean, you get the most buzz. I don't know. Let's see. What was the name of that particular boat? Let me see. I just looked it up. Now I can't find it. But it's on their website, on the FLIBS website, Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. Look it up. But I saw 257 feet long, so it's an impressive vessel. So go check it out.
Hey, question for you and Barry. Because you guys, Barry just took you and CJ lobstering, right?
He did, yes. Okay. Slaying.
And you and CJ, you used scuba gear, correct? I mean, you weren't free diving.
We were not.
You weren't going off a compressor, you know, in Barry's boat.
No, we were not hookah diving or using an air compressor or anything like that.
So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the first rule of scuba diving?
Never hold your breath.
What's the second rule of scuba diving?
Don't die.
Third?
Have fun.
CJ, what's the first rule of scuba diving?
First rule of scuba diving is we don't talk about scuba diving.
No, that's Fight Club. He got it all mixed up, as usual.
Okay, where I was heading, I was trying to get you to, was not diving alone.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you don't scuba dive alone, right? Isn't that a rule or an unwritten rule?
We have the buddy system. Okay. Yes, we use the buddy system. So we dive with a dive buddy.
Okay. So, recently there was an Australian diver that was out in his boat by himself.
Good eye, mate.
Yeah. So he was by himself. Two, failed to properly anchor his boat, or perhaps was, what do you call it, drift diving? Is it a term like that?
If he's
like
not
that?
Anchored, yeah, he'd be drifting,
okay.
Right? Or live boating.
So the boat gets swept away from him,
yeah,
and he is diving by himself in shark, knowingly in shark-infested waters.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got to swim miles and miles to shore, and then they're hailing the guy like he's some kind of superhero, and it's like, you're an idiot. Would you not agree, Greg?
Well, if he has a good excuse, like he was looking at something cool, he was trying to get that monster lobster, and he turned around and looked like, oh, darn it, the boat is going crikey.
Okay, but if you're going to go scuba diving by yourself, which
I got to work on my Australian accent,
isn't advisable. Two, you want to make sure that your boat is properly anchored, right, Barry?
That's what we did.
Or you have someone,
someone watching the boat. I won't dive without someone on the boat. That's the reason why it took me so long to get a dive on my own boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just trying to get some clarity there because the story, of course, you know, everybody wants to get their 15 minutes nowadays, and it's really a testament of what not to do versus then hailing the guy as some kind of a hero for making it to shore.
Well, how far did he have to? How far did he have to swim?
Let's see.
That's what got him the accolades. I have a feeling.
4 nautical miles.
Hmm. That's not that impressive.
That's not that far, and he had a 13.
I mean, it's far. He's on scuba. I mean,
he had a 13-foot tiger shark trailing him.
Okay. So he swam faster, is what you're saying. Than
it was within an arm's length, according to him, which I find highly doubtful. Because an arm's length, that shark's coming in, especially a tiger shark. You
would think it could have an interest. Well, it depends on, you know, if he had like lobsters. You say he was lobstering?
No, he was.
He was just diving for fun and got separated from his.
Nah, he had a spear gun with him, so he must have been doing.
Bring him in every time. Not wise
in shark-infested waters
to dive without a buddy, let alone a buddy boater. You know, there's people that'll go out on their private boats and may go down and do some solo diving. You can get certified for that. It's not, you know, really ideal situation, but hey, it to each his own.
Yeah,
but leaving the boat empty and then have that drift away on you, not a good plan. There was something missing in his planning procedures for boating and for diving.
Now, Barry, your boat's what, 17 foot is a surprise?
Yep.
How many anchors?
2 anchors.
1 bow, 1 stern, correct?
Correct, yeah.
You take any parachute anchors or drag anchors with you?
No, I've never used those. I mean, the bow anchors is designed for a 24-footer. I got a rather large bow anchor because I don't want my boat to drift away.
Barry's boat is down 7 degrees at the bow.
But it's not going anywhere.
Well, better than having a big stern, unless you're into that kind of thing.
All chain road, 5/16 lengths.
That's right. It takes two of us to lift it back up.
Okay. Well, I don't know, Captain Patrick's mildly amused.
I believe in overkill.
That's awesome.
He's laughing. We'll end it on a happy note then. So happy Halloween. Make the best of it. Go to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. Till next time, remember, whether it is sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.